And it is a beautiful, sunshiny day out. Very thankful for that. It's a little cool, but as Brother Marcus said, it's a lot better weather than we had last Sabbath when we almost had to swim here. Our message this morning is a question. The law, is it bondage? And the very first scripture we're going to go to on this is Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. It reads, "For freedom, Messiah has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of bondage or slavery," as some translations would say. Now, mainstream Christianity takes this verse, and they use this verse to make the case that returning to the law of God or following the law of God is bondage. That's what we want to explore this morning, is if that's correct or incorrect. And I think first of one thing that we need to think about as we turn to this question is, who were the Galatians? The Galatians, well, first of all, Apostle Paul was known as what? He was known as the apostle to the Gentiles. So the Galatians and the people he was writing these letters to were not Jews. They had never had the law of God. They were sinful people who the Apostle Paul was teaching to walk in the law and the statutes and the commandments of God. So when people take the book of Galatians in its entirety and speak of the Apostle Paul telling them not to return to bondage, it would be hard for me to believe that he was speaking of returning to the law, since they didn't come from the law. They came from sin. They came from the Gentiles, paganism, whatever terminology we want to put on it, were the things that they were coming from. They were not coming from the law of God. So how could they return to something that they weren't coming from, would be the question. Now, in John chapter 8, verse 34, tells us, Yeshua answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." And in Acts chapter 8 and verse 23 it says, "For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and the bondage of iniquity." Now, these two scriptures, one from the writings of Luke, the other a quote from Yeshua himself, refers to people who commit sin as a slave to sin, and it refers to iniquity as bondage. And I think that's very much what Galatians is speaking of also, instead of what some try to say it is. Because sin does what to us? It causes us separation from God. It causes His Spirit that we pray for the indwelling of, that has promised to bring us peace. Sin causes His Spirit to flee from us, because the Spirit does not dwell in a dirty temple. If your life is full of sin, the Spirit of God will not be dwelling in you. He will flee from you. The same way, it's the very same principle where Scripture tells us that if we resist the devil, he'll flee from us. Well, if we resist God, he'll flee from us also. Now, I want to look at a couple of scriptures about the law, what the scriptures say about the law. Psalms chapter 19, verses 7 and 8 tells us, "The law of Yahweh is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of Yahweh are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is clear, enlightening the eyes." Now that scripture starts off telling us about the law of our God. And I do not see anything in that scripture that tells me it's bondage. It tells me that it is perfect and it revives my soul. In this world that we live in, we can feel very beat down. And if we don't, just turn on the 6 o'clock news and watch it for 30 minutes. And you should feel beat down in your soul at the end of that program. Because this world is full of hate. It's full of sin. It's full of murder. It is full of persecution to those who truly serve God, like Scripture promises us. But when we turn to the law, and we turn to God's Word, and we turn away from sin, we accept the indwelling of His Spirit, it revives our soul. We feel like there's hope. As the Hebrew word is tikvah, yish tikvah, there is hope. And there is when we turn to Him. It also tells us there that it makes the simple wise. Now, I don't know how everybody else views themselves here, but I consider myself a pretty simple man. And this promises me that His Word and His law will make me wise. The world may view me as foolish and strange, and I don't care. As long as He views me as wise, I don't care what the world thinks of me. And also, you think about that, the fact that it says it makes the simple wise. Was that not, in fact, some of the things that were brought against His apostles when they spoke of Peter and John? He said, "Who are these guys teaching and speaking like this? Are they not unlearned?" He, their obedience to Him, He made them appear wise to educated men who could not understand it because they considered them ignorant and unlearned. And it tells us it brings a rejoicing of the heart and it enlightens your eyes. It enlightens your eyes. If you are a sinful person, a part of this world, I don't think you consider the world news the same way as we should consider the world news. I think you very much become hardened to these things. Your soul is no longer perplexed or tortured by them. We should be like Lot, where it says his righteous soul was tortured by the iniquity that was around him in Sodom. And I think when we turn to His law and His precepts and His ways, we very much become that way. That's why these things prick us and hurt us so much when we see them. So the law enlightens our eyes. In Psalms 119, verses 142 and 144 tells us, "Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have come upon me, but your commandments are my delight. Your decrees are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. It says, give me understanding that I may live. And it tells us that it is everlasting truth. It's delight. It is forever. And it brings understanding. And when it says it brings understanding that we may live, do you believe it's talking about living in this world? Or are we speaking of eternal life here, brother? We're speaking of eternal life here. Our salvation is through faith in Him. And we show our faith in Him through obedience. It's a clear balance of obedience and faith. We have a lot of people preach to us that all you have to do is have faith. All you have to do is believe. Scripture tells us that even the demons believe and tremble. I don't believe they're saved. I don't believe they have eternal life. Why? Because they did not have obedience to go with that belief. It is a balance. Revelation shows us that. It says, then the dragon was angry with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her children, those who keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Yeshua. We must have the law as part of that recipe. It's a balance. We have to have faith, but the commandments play a large role also. And Hosea chapter 4, I think, goes along with this. And verse 6 tells us, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Now, we've already established with these scriptures that the law brings knowledge. He tells us here if we reject His knowledge, He will reject us from being a priest to Him. Again, we're talking about our eternal salvation, eternal life. Because we'll go to Revelation again, 20 and 6. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power. They will be priests of God and of Messiah, and they will reign with Him for 1,000 years. So when Hosea says, excuse me, that if we reject it, we will not be His priest, we very clearly mean we won't be reigning with Him, will we? Because He tells us those that will reign with Him will be the priest unto Him. So rejecting His knowledge, His law, would make us right the opposite. It would make us a part of that second death. That lake of fire that I, for one, want no part of. And also, there in Hosea where we read what should be a very ominous warning for all of us who are parents. He said, since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. So rejecting Him, rejecting His commandments and His laws, cause your children to go astray. So not only could you be causing your own eternal damnation, you could be causing your child's. And I know as a parent that's I would rather it affect me than my children. And I think all of us who are parents here understand that concept. We're promised in the Word of God that if we teach them in the way that they should go. When they're older, they will not depart from it. We're not promised that they might not have a moment of foolishness in their youth, which we hope they do not have. But it says when they're older, they will not depart from it. And it tells us very much here that if we reject His law or His commandments, they will go astray. He will forget them because they went astray. And it will be our fault. It will not be theirs. It will be ours. How would you like to stand on Judgment Day? And even if at some point you had returned, and maybe you were being allowed in, but while you were raising your children, you weren't walking in His commands, and your children were lost. It would be a terrible thing, I would think, a terrible feeling. I think most of us here with children would automatically think we want to both be there. But if it came down to an either or, we'd want them to let our children in and send us to the lake of fire. And when we think along that, it tells us that His law is perfect love. And when we think about that, I think we have to consider the perfect love that He had. Because when we think along those lines of how we feel about our children, the Father sent His Son here and let Him suffer for us. His Son walked perfectly in this law that we're speaking of today. But He sent Him here and let Him die for us, for each one of us here. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, I'm going to read about verses probably 12 through 16 here. Start in 11. Therefore, observe diligently the commandment, the statutes, and the ordinances that I am commanding you today. If you heed these ordinances by diligently observing them, the Lord your God will maintain with you the covenant loyalty that He swore to your ancestors. He will love you, bless you, multiply you. He will bless the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your ground, your grain and your wine and your oil, the incense of your cattle, the issue of your flock, and the land that He swore to your ancestors to give to you. You shall be the most blessed of peoples, with neither sterility or barrenness among you or your livestock. The Lord will turn away from you every illness, all the dreaded diseases of Egypt that you experienced. He will not inflict on you, but He will lay them on all who hate you. You shall devour all the peoples that the Lord your God is giving over to you, showing them no pity. You shall not serve their gods, for that would be a snare to you. Now he tells us very clearly here that obedience to His commandments and His statutes and His ordinances will bring us blessings, many blessings. In fact, it says the Lord will turn away every illness. It's pretty amazing. Obedience, and He will turn away illness from us. It tells us that we will not be barren. We will multiply, as Brother David was talking about this morning. To think upon all those blessings that were promised right there simply for obeying Him. And I think this is why we're referred throughout Scripture as His children. That's how He views us. And it's also something that we can understand. Because what do we reward our children for? If we're good parents. If we're good parents, we reward our children for what? For obedience. If you come home from a hard day at work and your child has diligently done all the things you told them to do that day, what parent's not going to reward them in some manner? Sometimes that reward may simply be a hug and then telling them what a good child they are, and that's a great reward for a child. Sometimes you may take them out and give them some sort of extra special treat. But you are going to reward your children for obedience. And this is the same principle that he applies to us in our lives. And he says that it comes through obedience to his law. Clearly, as we've already pointed out, we have to have faith in him, or we wouldn't want to be obedient to his laws. The idea that you could be obedient without faith is not realistic. Because how could you be obedient to someone you didn't have faith in? I don't think it's really possible. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died in sin go on living in it? Now, the Apostle Paul asked a very important question there, did he not? If you've died to sin, how can you go on living in it? Because many people say that his grace freed them of their sin, forgave them of their sins. Through baptism, they died of their sins. If that be the case, you cannot go on living in it. It's very much what the Apostle Paul's indicating there. And what is sin? We know what sin is, correct? 1 John 3 and 4 tells us what sin is. It says, everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is transgression of the law. So when the Apostle Paul talks about you cannot go on living in sin, he would be saying you cannot go on being a lawbreaker, would he not? Paul says later in chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. So lawbreaking brings what? Death. Brings eternal death. I think all of these scriptures, we're talking about something much more than what happens to us in this world. We're talking about something much more important. We're talking about our eternal salvation or damnation. And in Romans 7 and 12, Paul says, so the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and just and good. I read these statements from the Apostle Paul this morning because they're scripture and they're very good, and also because he is the apostle who many proclaim did away with the law. Well, Paul said no such thing. He said the law is holy, it is just, it is good. He said you cannot go on continuing to be a lawbreaker after claiming to be freed by grace from sin. He said he believed all things written in the Torah and the prophets, that he served the God of his fathers. Paul made all these statements in his life. And Peter, very importantly, tells us what? That those that misunderstood Paul's writings, Peter called it the era of the lawless ones. He didn't say the era of the commandment keepers. He said, don't be led astray by the error of the lawless ones when speaking of the ones who misunderstood Paul's scriptures. So it's very important to note that the Apostle Paul in no way ever spoke against the law. Our last scripture we're going to turn to will be from Paul in the same book of Romans. Paul says in chapter 3 and verse 31, do we then throw away the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. I think the King James reads, we establish the law, I believe. So the Apostle Paul in no way ever spoke against the law. He may have, as we should, spoke against thinking the law that you should never think the law saves you. Because I want to make it very clear this morning, I'm not saying the law is what saves us. Yeshua saves us. He is salvation. But through our love of Him, the fact that He has saved us, we will show obedience to His law. And most importantly, to answer our question this morning about is the law bondage? The law is not bondage. I think these scriptures we went over shows us that clearly. Sin is bondage. The breaking of the law brings on the bondage. And it can put you under the law, as the Apostle Paul spoke of. That's what he was referring to when he said, why would you want to be back under the law? He was not talking about the law isn't a bad thing. He was talking about when you break the law, you are under the law instead of in harmony with the law. And at that point in time, you're in trouble. It's no different. God's law is no different than the law of the land we live in. You're in harmony with the speed limit when you go through Dyersburg if you're running the speed limit. You go through Dyersburg running 90, you're going to be under the law when the cop sees you. You will pay the penalty. This is what our brother, the Apostle Paul, spoke of when he was speaking of being under the law and of bondage. He was talking about the breaking of the law. He was not talking about the law in itself being bondage. For these scriptures this morning have told us very clearly that the law is peace, the law is enlightening, the law is truth, the law is perfect, the law is holy. The law is spoken of in all these ways. It's not spoken of as bondage. So remember, the breaking brings bondage, not the keeping. Obedience brings us freedom and peace through the Messiah, Yeshua. And I hope we've all gained something from our message this morning. We will close by standing and reciting our blessings together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Amen. And Brother Jim, would you ask our blessing for the food and our